this guy's going along, and then all of a sudden this car just comes flying out of nowhere behind him.
Yeah.
And then just they'll like come off back the track. To
Dads and Dragons.
And then the town says when the AI has to win at any cost.
Add two of each mana.
I'm going to use that one.
So that's a total of number like three? 10 mana.
Is that Scott?
It's pretty great, yes, ain't it?
That is me.
Scott Titch Tape.
Tis I. Scott.
The Frenchiest Fry.
Well, we'll try this and see what happens. Okay. Sounds like we got a lot of noise in the back, but I think that's just the gain turned way up.
Who's the game?
Gain.
Ah.
Okay, we're going to start in 10.
10.
9.
2.
3.
7.
8.
What?
They're twins.
346.
That's not what 42. I was going to say.
525,600.
Minutes.
24601.
24601.
Welcome back to Dads and Dragons.
Welcome back to Dads and Dragons. To my left, we have
BJ playing Zophius.
How do we start on the left?
To my right, we have
Scott playing Turlin. To my right,
Alex playing Yarvin. To my left,
Scott playing right.
Scott playing Turlin.
I'm the only one playing anyone.
Scott playing Skylar.
To my right,
we have Jack playing Skylar.
To his right.
To my right. We're back to
Scott.
BJ playing Zophius.
And I'm Ryan.
To his right.
And I'm Ryan. I'm the DM today. Same as every day. Today we are going to continue this adventure that's happening at the Colosseum. At the arena. The Magic the Gathering arena. There's a little promotional thing there.
Is there an opposite of claustrophobic?
They're not paying us.
You really like
it's not sponsored, but
we're sponsored by me.
Okay, let's go back to Turlin.
Yes.
Where things are getting busier and busier outside the arena.
The cats are going crazy.
The cats have settled down a little bit, but there are now a lot of people there as it gets closer. It's maybe it's maybe 3 hours away from when things are getting started, and people are starting to line up. They want good seats.
Uh-huh.
And sorry, it's 3 hours from the main event, but the smaller events are going to start happening in an hour or less.
Okay.
And so people are showing up now in droves, and they're starting to go through these lines, and they're getting confused just like you thought they would. And some people are getting a little upset.
That's fine.
Outside the arena also, now there are workers who are there to entertain people while they wait in line.
Mm-hmm.
They're mostly jesters and jugglers.
Okay.
Food is very entertaining.
Food is a great entertainment.
The cinnamon roll.
Turkey leg.
Apple bread seller. There's a little monk selling some apple bread from a stand. He's walking around with a big basket box in front of him. What's the monk's name, BJ?
Theo.
Oh, Theo.
Theodore.
Theodore the monk is out there selling some apple bread. And you see this little monk talking to somebody who's like holding his head like he's got a headache. And he keeps walking through the line, and he moans, and you notice every now and then that he'll like start pushing somebody or whoever he's next to is trying to help him, and he starts pushing them away, and he keeps like groaning and grabbing his head the farther along this line that he gets.
Okay.
It's a zombie.
He can't push you because you're too short. Go help him.
Yes. He can't push me.
I'll approach him.
As you approach him, you see that he's really in pain now.
Okay.
And
hit him on the head. That will reduce the pain.
Knock him unconscious.
Make a perception check.
Oh, that's not good. Okay. I got a 2.
All right.
Or, yeah, 4.
Yeah, you're
so
in pain.
So you get right up to him then, and you grab his arm. What do you do?
Yeah, kind of not like, not aggressively, but like trying to get his attention, I guess. You know,
okay.
If he doesn't notice me coming up to him.
Well, you get all the way up next to him before you notice anything that's wrong. Otherwise, if you'd rolled higher, you would have noticed a little bit farther away. But as you get up, he turns around and spins at you, and you can see that there are horns starting to grow out of his head, big bull horns. And he growls at you and snarls, and his whole body is starting to transform
into a
minotaur.
It's just a phase, Mom.
Okay.
Into a minotaur shape. And so he's a, let's go with human still. He's human, and he's transforming into this minotaur, like a werewolf transformation.
Right, okay.
And he's about halfway through the transformation when you get up to him. And at this point, the people right next to him are freaked out completely.
Yeah.
Because the kid just turned into a minotaur.
Knock him unconscious.
Bop him on the head.
Bippity boppity.
And didn't wake up in the morning.
Get off my property.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the old...
I need some help.
Bonk to the head.
Help.
The bonker. I'll try and ask him, like, if there's anything I can do.
Okay. He just can barely talk at this point and just is howling. And it seems like he's in a lot of pain.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'm going to... I will...
And he seems confused, too. He's like, what's happening to me?
This doesn't sound like it's...
Turn undead. What?
Yeah, that's, it doesn't seem like it's...
Yeah, it's not anything like that spell-wise, so right. You wouldn't be able to turn undead to like stop it.
No. No, he's not undead. He is
not yet.
Clearly going through something, but he's not undead.
Well, then I am going to just try and... Yeah, I'm going to grapple him. I got a 20.
You got a natural 20?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, you take him down. He's bigger. He's growing bigger than you, but you're able still to grapple him down and kind of put him into a... like a body lock, like you wrap his arms and his around his head to try and pull him down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he continues to grow, and so soon you are he's lifting you to where you are up off the ground now.
Okay.
And he's become a full size minotaur.
And then I'm going to fireball his face while I'm right next to him,
just
putting my hand on his face.
Okay.
Fire bolting him.
Go for it.
Right in the face. Oh, I got a 2. So I got a 6.
So did you like have your
head jostle me around?
Yeah,
too
you're
much
you're and, getting whipped around now.
Right as and I so right as I cast it,
your firebolt goes off into the sky above the crowd, and now people are a little bit worried because now they're starting to see fireworks a little early, and there's a big minotaur just screaming and stuff.
All while I'm just yelling, it's part of the show. No need to worry.
Good deal.
I just might need some help from my friends.
Help me. Please.
Where are you, men?
So he is going to make a strength check to try and throw you off of him.
Okay. I got a 16.
He got a 19, unfortunately. So he tosses you down to the ground.
Okay.
And he's going to start charging at people. Like he's whipping around and...
Well, I'm glad I didn't have to.
You can see
that
on his next turn, he's just going to start charging through everybody.
Okay.
The other guards are on their way.
Then I'm going to don my shield and mace and try and stand between him and everyone else.
Okay. Let's roll initiative to see if he's going to go smash you or if you're going to hit him.
Oh, yeah, natural 20 again.
Oh,
15, I win.
He only got a 2, so you get to go first.
Okay, then I'm going to... yeah, I'll cast... is that a... Yeah. So, hold on one sec. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to cast Shield of Faith on myself, and then just like hold my action.
Okay, what does Shield of Faith do? Tell me.
Gives me +2 AC.
Okay.
But like kind of, I guess, cast it on myself, but then also like hit my shield to like get his attention.
Oh, okay. All right. Then, yeah, he will charge right at you on his turn. He doesn't have any weapons, so he's just going to try and gore you with his horns.
Okay.
But as he charges towards you, he only gets a 10 to hit you, which I don't think will beat your armor class.
I'm at a 20 now because of it. So.
So he's not able to knock you down or anything.
Well, as he's coming at me, can I again like try and attack of opportunity, like sweep his legs again?
Not on his turn. He's not like moving away from you, which was when he would get an attack of opportunity.
Okay.
But he's used his turn trying to charge you and he failed. So now it's your turn again.
Okay. So then yeah, I'll try and just as he's like
If you can if you hit him hard enough, like you're aiming for his legs, if you hit him hard enough, then we'll have you knock him down.
Okay.
We'll see how much damage you can do.
I got a 15 plus.
That's a hit. He's just a 14.
So 20.
Yeah, he's just a 14 to hit him.
Okay. Then, 9 damage.
That's pretty good. All right, so you knock him down. Let's say to one knee.
Okay.
So you hit him just right in the knee.
Okay.
And that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
He had to stop becoming an adventurer.
take up guard duty. That's right. in a village.
So he goes down to one knee. The other guards are rushing up and have gotten up to you at this point. And together you're able to kind of swarm around him and put him down. You take him over to a medical tent, I guess. Or strap him down. Where do you go? The medical tent, jail. What do you do with this guy?
Probably jail, and then bring a medic to him.
Okay.
Just because it'd be less chance of him breaking out of a jail than a tent.
Sure.
Being Minotaur size.
So you find a wagon, one of your prisoner wagons nearby, and you lock him up in there.
Yeah.
After you guys get him knocked out, as you get back. You find that it's just havoc there. People are trying to figure out what's going on and scared.
Okay.
How do you help to calm down the crowd?
I guess try and get the entertainers back.
Okay. So you call them
entertaining.
Over? Sure. You call over some jugglers.
Yeah.
Everything's okay here.
You jugglers, back over here. Entertain these people.
The grumpy old dwarf.
Everything's fine now.
Go have fun.
Yes.
All right. Okay, let's cut back over to Yarvin.
A-okay.
No, I'm sorry. We need to do... Yeah, let's do the Yarvin. But Skylar, you're going to be involved in this part too.
Okay.
Okay. As the pre-show stuff begins, you notice that there are goats involved in every fight, not just the one that you guys are doing. But it seems like the very first thing that happens is there's a fight with a brand new, like really young, teenaged fighter from a Gruul clan who is trying to prove himself, and they put him up against a goat to fight. But he's like a kid, like a young, like a 12-year-old teenager, not like a
12-year-old like, versus a goat.
So it's like at the rodeos when they put like kids on the back of sheep and have them try and hold onto the sheep as they're running around, stuff like that.
Yeah.
In this case, and they're just kind of working their way up, but there's goats involved somehow in like every single fight that's going on.
When Yarvin first sees this in the first couple fights, like, Well, now this is just going to be boring.
Right? Yeah. So you'd think that. But there is a master of ceremonies there who is from Rakdos Guild, as most entertainers are. And he's injecting humor and different... He's really working the crowd up. And so he seems to be able to find a way to... Like he's trying to make these goats as a running theme throughout everything. And he's got this story that he's telling, not a story that he's telling about him, but every now and then in the middle of a fight, he'll be like, what else can we surprise them with? And then like a big cage will open up and a goat will run out or whatever. And it'll end up getting in the middle of the fight and get trampled by whatever's going on stuff. But he is somehow working goats into everything. Okay. The fireworks are also going off at the same time. So the beginning of every fight, fireworks will go off. And here's what Skylar didn't notice before, is that the fireworks are all a little bit too low for...
That's not safe.
What would normally be safe. And so every time the fireworks go off, like it's a big ooh, ah, and then like ash, like falling on people and stuff and screaming. That makes the master of ceremonies like cheers the fireworks on every time and turns that into a game as well.
Who can get ash in their mouth first?
Yeah, he says he offers like a for every burn mark you can get a free hot dog at
people are now jumping on the fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah, so for every burn scar, get a free hot dog, a free hot dog at what's the name of a restaurant that would...
Cranko's Dogs. K-Dogs.
If a whole section catches on fire, it's free haircuts for everyone on the east side. So he's making jokes about that too. But clearly Skylar notices that the fireworks are just going off way too low from what you designed. And make a wisdom check real quick. How's your wisdom, Skylar?
It is very average.
He doesn't have to be very high. Just roll and let's see what you get.
19.
Oh, okay. You were thinking back over your plans and thinking about your animated fireworks and doing some you do some calculations in your head.
Oh, that might not be good.
Oh, this is not
good. Someone might get speared. That's not Nicol Bolas.
So what does Skylar do when he realizes that when runs his fireworks to where go they're off, going to. That something bad might happen?
I'm going to figure out where they're keeping the fireworks.
Okay.
And tell them not to.
All right. You head down to where the fireworks are set up at, and they're mounted all over the place, but you head down to where the people are at with they're lighting the fuses. And you find a couple of technicians there, but also a pair of guards in black jackets with red lining.
Oh, no.
But you don't know anything about them.
So what do you say to the technicians when you get there?
That's dangerous. You shouldn't do it.
Do the clapping, too.
That's dangerous.
So where does Yarvin come in?
Yarvin comes in just a second. Yarvin's got a match by himself first before... The big arena. So we'll do a fight with Yarvin in just a second. We'll see how goats can get involved in his little match. See. So the guards tell you to step away. They know what they're doing.
No, they don't.
Beat them up.
What do you? How hard do you? How much do you push it? Like, you know that if your animated fireworks go off, like it could take out everybody on the top deck of the...
Who cares about the top deck anyway?
Of the arena.
Light them on and it fire
would, it would, now. It would not be pleasant for the people on the bottom either. But your animated dragon, for instance, would probably just swoop right through.
And I tell them just that.
Okay. When you tell them that, the guards look at each other and they look back at you, and one of them grabs at you and says, "You keep your mouth shut."
Light them on fire.
So what do you do now?
Make them the fire.
Roll initiative. Let's see.
Roll initiative.
They're going to try. Oh, they rolled a one.
I rolled 11.
Okay. So they are going to try and grab you and take Skylar someplace where they can contain you, or they're basically going to try and, you know, take you away. Well, so what does Skylar do?
Not fun.
Book it.
Infestation.
What? Ooh, infestation? Bugs. What is that?
I can create a swarm of bugs.
Okay.
Just lots of bugs. All the bugs.
You took a new spell.
Yes, I did. It's a new cantrip.
All right, let's see. What does it do?
I cause a cloud of mites, fleas, and other parasites to appear momentarily on one creature you can see within range. Target must succeed in a constitution saving throw or takes 1d6 poison damage. Okay. And moves 5 feet in a random direction.
All right. So on the guard that's grabbing at you, he rolls a...
I'm supposed to roll.
No, he makes a constitution check.
Oh.
And he only gets a 7. What's your DC? It's probably way higher than that.
I think it's only like a 12. Yeah.
13. That's what your thing says.
Yeah.
Okay, so he takes 1d6 poison damage. You can roll that.
2. So
and much. He moves 5 feet away in a random direction.
Pretty sure.
So I'm roll supposed. A d4.
North, south, east, west.
He moves east.
East. We'll say east is away from everything. So he doesn't run back towards where the fireworks are, but he doesn't run towards you either. Runs off to the east. Wait. So. But only 5 feet. He just takes a step away. Like he's not like running away.
Oh,
his
steps are huge.
Well, a couple steps. And he's trying to get away from this cloud of mites and fleas. So does it keep like biting him? What happens here? It like just, they go away. Okay.
It's just ruining an ecosystem.
Okay. Okay, so he runs away and the other one's going to try and grab you now. He gets a 13. You need to make also a strength or a dexterity check.
Oh, 11.
Okay, so he grabs you and
it's
going to try and take you away. It is the other guy. He ran away, so he's still there, but he's pounding off fleas off of him. What do you do on your turn? So you can still do things, but you're grappled right now.
Things,
you can still cast a spell, you can still fight and try and stab him, but you can't run away unless you break the grapple somehow or get him to let go of you.
Where is he grabbing me?
On your arm. He grabs you by your upper arm, like on your bicep.
I will catapult a rock at him. I'm sure
one of the fireworks.
Okay. 24 to hit
first level.
Yes,
that's a hit.
Or
second level?
No, it's a first level slot.
All right.
13 damage.
Oh, wow. Jeez. That is a very bad hit for him. So he actually... That's half his hit points. So he's going to let go of you.
Isn't that like...
Huzzah.
Trauma?
Yeah. There is a rule about massive damage.
Oh, okay.
Mega bludgeoning.
Mega bludgeoning. Ultra bludgeoning.
Super. Actually, the object takes damage as well, but I'm not sure that matters.
Shatter the rock.
So if this case, if I were to catapult a cat, the cat would also take damage.
Okay, this is a fun rule. Massive damage. When a creature takes damage from a single source equal to or greater than half its hit point maximum, it must succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw or suffer a random effect determined by a roll on the system shock table.
The system shock table.
They can be such things as character drops to 0 hit points or is stunned till his next turn. The creature can't take reactions and has disadvantage on attack rolls, or the creature can't take reactions until the end of its next turn. So is it could mostly it takes away actions or reactions. The odds of that are happening are way higher than it just dropping to 0, but that's a possibility.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, but he does let go of you and grabs his head where you hit him with the rock.
Now I run to the firework if they're not.
So you're still running towards the fireworks?
Yes.
No, it's not going to go off right now. This is the grand finale, and they're just getting started with the show.
Okay, but you then run I that tried way. To persuade them.
Okay. No, just I just didn't know. I didn't want you to think that you had to stop them right now, because I didn't want you to think that like they were lighting them right now to go off.
Run and get some help, probably.
No, I can take off two guards. It's fine.
Okay, that so you run towards the fireworks. The other guard who you put the bugs on him comes and grabs you, or tries to grab you, but misses. He's still a little freaked out by all the bugs.
I mean, I am too, and I summoned them.
And the guard that you hit with the rock grabs you this time, and he grapples you, and he's going to try and tackle you down.
Oh, no.
And he rolls a 19 to grapple you. You can roll your acrobatics or your strength.
This is going to be great. 6.
Okay. So he tackles you down, and the other one jumps on you as well. And before long, you find yourself tied up and tossed into a closet.
Oh, that's not fun at all.
Not at all. All right, back with Zophius. This is just to go back a little bit chronologically. Zophius started off his investigation in the morning. He is trying to catch up to where you guys are at, chronologically speaking.
I don't know where I am.
Sorry. You're locked in closet.
I'm back at any point in time.
I'm like 3 hours behind everyone.
You are about an hour behind right now.
I'm back in time.
You're just on a different part of the international dateline.
That's right. So let's get you caught up here. If anyone would know the location of this Chagrock, it would be Jury, who owns a review down on Tin Street. Tin Street, it, just like the Transguild Promenade, Tin Street runs the entire length of the district, probably about 15 or 20 minutes away from the Hall of the Guild Pact. All right, Zophius, you approach a large playhouse with decorative letters on the top that says Jury's Review and shows nightly in a big billboard underneath it.
I walk inside.
All right. Inside, you find a tiefling.
Ooh.
Dressed very nicely in a vest and tails, like a tuxedo. He's got tails and has a top hat on the counter next to him. Definitely looks like some kind of ringmaster or master of ceremonies. And he is standing behind the counter talking to some kind of midget performer that is up on the counter. And he's trying to explain to him how he's not going to be able to fit inside the cannon. And Jury says, "We'll squeeze you in. I've got plungers."
I like the style.
When you say that, he turns over and says, "Ah,
I fit in."
And
the
who
cannon.
Do we have here? And he notices that you're wearing a Boros uniform, and he shoos the guy away and glances around to make sure there's no
illegal
things on the counter.
Is that a pencil?
That's
is that a not number 2 pencil?
You see him slip something to the little midget guy as he jumps off of the counter, and then the guy runs back to the stage behind the doors that lead to the stage. He says, "And what can I do for you, fine sir?"
"I'm here looking for a cult member."
"Just one?"
"In this case, yes. It goes by the name of Chadrack and Abednego."
"Come on, guys."
When you say Chagrock, he gets a little squinty-eyed, like he wants to know if he's going to get in trouble by being associated with this guy.
"Just need to know where he is."
"I see. And what has Master Chagrock been up to that would draw such attention? What do you decide to tell him about what you're investigating?"
"It's a nice title."
"I think he calls everybody Master."
"That's not what I'm saying. He's a nice title."
"Yeah."
He's just very polite to all of his guests. He likes to be a
guest.
A good host.
He has a 20 in charisma.
Yes, definitely.
Skylar only has a 16.
Someday, all of my points are going into charisma. All
right.
Wow, that's okay.
What's your perception plus zero? Level 14.
Okay.
So you have to decide what information you want to share about. How much information you would want to share about your investigation in order to get his help, and how much might be oversharing.
Missing his person's case.
No, that's too much.
Okay.
Okay.
Shut up, voices in my head.
Did we have like a telepathic? Okay, gosh.
When I thought no one could be more insane than me.
Another one shows up.
Then this goblin shows up out of nowhere.
I'm looking for him because of his participation in illegal activity.
Well, I'm not involved in illegal activity, of course. I don't know that I would know much about this Mr. Chagrak. And he pronounces it wrong.
Shadrach. I don't need to know about the activity. I just need to know his whereabouts.
Well, that might be accomplished. You see, I'm not a big fan of this person, of course, because of his illegal activity.
Of course.
Yeah, I see.
We all know this guy is doing it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's a clean guy.
And so I'm happy to help a member of the Boros Legion whenever they're investigating something. Are you investigating something? Perhaps I might be able to help you more if I knew more about what was going on.
A wink, wink.
This guy's a bad guy.
How much do you think I'll have to pay him for him to just tell me?
Oh, okay. To bribe him, he's pretty rich.
Darn it.
But we are too.
I bribe him with daggers in the spleen.
No, just bribe him.
How many daggers in the spleen will it take?
But perhaps you could offer to...
Not maybe, tell.
Perhaps you could offer to overlook something that he might do in the future.
As long as it's not murder.
Yeah.
Right? No murder?
But maybe he might be, maybe he would be more willing to trade in favors than in money.
I don't know how to phrase it. How about I don't tell you and I will give you a favor?
He says,
because my charisma is an 8.
That's half of my
intelligence
charisma.
Is very high, but I just can't say anything. Don't tell you favor, what?
He says, tell me your name, Master Goblin.
Voices, this is your one chance to shine.
Abednego!
Cornelius!
No, Abednego,
Cornelius
Abednego.
Two.
Cornelia and Cornelius. Two different people.
No, Abednego.
Something I would name a cat.
Okay. Turlin voice, do you have anything to say?
Just quiet
just
thinking.
Just right at this moment, Zophius just snaps.
I can't hear Turlin anymore.
Raphaelia.
I'm telling you, Abednego.
Krenko.
Abednego.
You should tell him you're Krenko.
No, Abednego.
Krenko wouldn't be in the Boros Legion.
Again, he says, all right, tell me your name, Master Goblin.
No.
Just tell me your real name. Screw it.
No.
Theo.
Zephorius.
I have a high intelligence. I can think of a name. I believe
Zoth
in myself.
Bop.
Grimwald.
Theo.
Kronk.
Mickey Moose. Kronk? Is that what you just said?
The name is Kronk.
My parents
That's what I'm going
love
by.
It.
Kronk.
Make a deception check.
Darn it.
Oh. I'm not very good at deception with my plus 5.
5.
11. Oh. You got 16.
Is that your total? Is 5?
Yeah.
Okay, he rolled an 8. He says, listen, all favors are built on trust. And if I can't trust you, and he flips closed a book that he's been, like a ledger book, and picks it up and starts to walk off. Here's the deal. If you tell him another lie, you're going to have to make a deception roll again. And he's going to roll against you to see if he can detect it.
And then he's going to roll to see if
you tell him the truth, If you tell him the truth, then he'll believe you.
Fine, I'll just say Zophius.
Okay. He turns around on his heel immediately. It says, very good, Master Zophius then. Now we have a relationship of trust. And he lays down his book again and opens up to the back and pulls out from behind the counter a feather, pulls out a feather quill and a jar of red ink and dips it and says, now, how would you spell that? Z-O-F-P-H. F it is then. Z-O-F. And is that a Y or an I?
It's a V-Y-S.
Why is this question
Y-S-S. And writes your name down on the back of it. And underneath, he puts in quotations, one favor.
It's like a coupon.
And he says, and he spins it around coupon. So you can see it. And says, does this look correct to you?
Correct enough.
Okay, as you reach forward to look at it, he jabs the quill into your thumb and a little drop of blood spills onto the paper.
I told you
it was a
blood pact. I told you voices.
I told you he would, I told you he would ask for a blood sample, so.
I say that's not quite enough and poke myself more.
And then he shuts the book and leans over the counter leans over on his elbows on the counter and says, now, Master Zophius, now I can help you. Master Chagrak, you'll find hold up in a dive of a warehouse about 4 blocks from here.
I'm already gone. dive 4 blocks. Perfect.
And he gives you directions. It happens to be between here and the arena. In fact, it's actually the warehouse is actually pretty close to the arena.
What a coincidence. I'm also very close to the arena.
Yeah, yes, you are. And you head out in that direction. All right, great. It takes you just a few minutes and you arrive at the warehouse. It looks to be pretty empty at this point.
Whoa, whoa.
Just like, I'm not sure. Skylar's in your head.
Just Turlin's just like, whoa, whoa, wait, wait, let's not do this yet.
Just walking in? Are you gonna sneak in? Okay, make a stealth check.
27.
Oh, great. You can pick. You wanna go in a window? Back door, window, through the roof, skylight. 27 gets you in however you want.
Through the roof?
Yeah, I'll climb up to the roof. I'll go through the roof.
Okay. You scale up a water spout in the back corner and find a skylight in the roof that opens up. Inside this modest warehouse, not as big as the warehouse that you guys fought Krenko in, but a slightly smaller building. Inside, you find mostly empty floor and pens, like animal pens, all over the place. Small fences and hay spread out on the ground, but they're all empty right now. It smells like it's a zoo inside, basically.
Anything else besides pens?
Make an investigation check. 15. Great. That's enough. As you search around, back in the back, you find a window that's cracked open a little bit to get some air in. You find a little desk, and tied up behind the desk on the floor, you find a woman in a uniform of someone who works at the Guild Pact.
Is that all I find? Or can I?
Oh, the desk is covered in books.
Yes.
And the woman is tied up and gagged behind the...
Am I far away or am I right there?
You are searching come around, and so you come across him.
Let's free her.
Free her first?
Yes.
Okay. You untie her hands and you notice that they are very, like the ropes had really cut into her wrists pretty deeply. She's been tied up for quite some time. When you get the gag off of her, she gasps and is a little scared at first. What do you do to reassure her?
I pull out her mirror.
Oh, okay. She looks at you very suspiciously. Like, where did you find this? Who sent you?
This would be a perfect time to get a call.
A bring, bring.
Do you shake it around?
Come on, call me.
Wait, can I call them in a way?
You don't know how to call somebody on the mirror.
Well, that sucks.
It's her mirror, though. She might know.
Hey, can you call the guy?
I'll toss it to her and say, ask them.
She looks at the mirror and draws a little design on the front.
Heart.
Some kind of magical... No, not a heart. She draws a design on the front.
It's probably the
and
air sign.
Me.
And then every time it just appears another face, just dang it.
And the mirror goes foggy and a misty kind of blurry figure appears on the other side of it. And you hear the voice of the person that talks to you in your dreams. And he says, "My dear Cornelia, you're okay. It's so good to see you." She says, "Master, what does she say? I hate talking to myself as NPCs. I'm just going to talk to myself for a minute. You guys do what you're going to do." He says, is Zophius there with you?
I peek around.
Excellent. Excellent work, Zophius. As always. I trust that Cornelia is in good hands at this point, but at this juncture, I must be away. That's a dumb thing to say.
Juncture.
It says, Cornelia, you may trust that you are in good hands. I'm sorry that I cannot communicate right now further, but I have some pressing matters that take me away. And the mirror goes clear again, and you just see yourself and Cornelia in it. How did you find me?
I got stabbed.
Wizardry.
Followed Chadrek, I guess.
Okay.
We need to get up.
She says he's planning something terrible at the arena.
Was it fireworks?
No kidding.
Evil goats?
She grabs some of the books that are on the table and starts flipping open several of them. She says, I've been tasked at the Hall of the Guild Pact to find as much as we can to interview and to gather as much information as we can about some of these other planes that these planeswalkers have come from. And so I've been interviewing several of them and gathering whatever books, any information that we've had through the ages of interactions with some of these and running down any rumors. I found one that Chagrok came to me a little while ago. It's not Tybalt. Chagrok came to me a little while ago wanting to know about some of them as well. And I thought at first he was trying to help me, but when he saw this, and she opens up to a page that has an inscription of a summoning spell on that is a diagram of something that has to be drawn in the
sand.
In the sand or in the ground. And outlines that in order to summon this creature, you need so many participants, and you have to have a sacrifice of so many goats. And
that's oddly specific.
Yeah, well, it's a very specific summoning spell.
It's not Eldrazi.
Oh my gosh, it's super goats.
It's super goats. She says, it's some god from another plane by the name of Mogus, the god of slaughter.
We're going to Theros then, aren't we?
Can I make a snarky comment?
No.
Darn.
That is from the Theros block, you're correct.
Oh, it's this one. Yeah, it's the Minotaur. That's a... There's a fake planeswalker.
Okay, got it?
Yep.
So you see who we're dealing with now? She says, in the last couple days, Chagrak has been obsessed with replacing Rakdos. I think this is who she's trying to bring in to do it.
Well, that sucks now.
Do we think Rakdos could take
Mogus in a fight?
Yeah.
Okay, she tears the page out of the book and says, we have to find some way to stop him from summoning Mogus.
Yep. Seems like a good plan.
All right.
Let the games begin.
Let the games begin. Sounds good.
Fighting goats.
What would you like to do, Zophius? What's your next step?
I don't know if I need to go anywhere besides find this dude.
She says he's at the arena. He took hundreds of goats that he had in the warehouse the last couple days and left for the arena this morning.
That's the goat sacrifice. Oh, he's the leader of the...
It all just... And suddenly, all just clicked. Suddenly a light bulb goes off right above Zophius's head.
But the voices know this.
That's true. The voices know that in the head. But Zophius himself doesn't know.
Because the voices are like 30 minutes ahead by this point.
Yes.
Well, then let's head to the arena.
All right. At the arena. Let's go to the outside of the arena. The outside of the arena, we have Turlin. At this point, Turlin has now locked up three other visitors.
They're turning into Minotaurs.
Who have morphed into some kind of were-Minotaurs as they go through the lines, as they're waiting to get in
for the
main event. And you've locked them up just like the others in the paddy wagon.
Yeah.
And currently, Turlin is dealing with the latest, this time a Luxodon, a big giant elephant who is turned into now an even bigger giant Minotaur with a trunk.
Minotaur with a trunk.
Okay.
And things are not going very well with you and the rest of your
guard squadron.
Yeah, you and the rest of your squadron are not doing so well handling this one.
It's a little bigger than the rest.
Yeah, but let's roll initiative. We'll do a couple rounds really quick, and then I'll...
Oh, I got a six.
Okay, he's going to go first.
Yeah.
And if anybody's wondering, no, there are not any stats for a Luxodon Minotaur. So
Luxodon.
But he's going to attack you with his trunk.
Okay.
And you duck under it.
Yeah.
Just luckily. And then you can make an attack back.
Okay. Just with my mace. Nope, I got a natural one.
Oh, gosh. So as he swings the trunk back, it knocks you over as you rush in to try and hit him. And you get knocked down. You only take... Let's do a d4. Since he's not directly attacking you, you only take 3 damage. But you get put down on your butt.
Okay.
And while you're down, this is perfect timing, actually. While you're down on the butt, suddenly you hear a crack as something hits the Luxodon from behind, and it just collapses and falls right basically in front of you and even like pins down one of your legs. And then you see somebody step up over the top of this Luxodon Minotaur, and it's your old friend from the Academy who has been waiting in line to get in and said, oh, hello, Turlin. I see that you're having a little trouble here.
I don't remember his name.
I don't know if you gave him a name.
I don't think I did.
What's his name now?
Gerald.
Gerald. That's a terrible name. That's awesome. Oh, how do we edit the notes? There it is. Enemies. Former comrade who was promoted to the Sun Home Guard. And what race is Gerald? Is he a dwarf too?
No. Gerald is a
human, elf, goblin, minotaur, centaur. No, they're all gone because of the cats. Dwarf.
Just human.
Just human. Okay. Just arrogant, yeah. Know-it-all, always right, and super obnoxious human named Gerald. And Gerald was promoted to the Sun Home Guard. And he says, always a pleasure to help out someone on the patrol, of course. It's not very often we get to get our hands dirty in the muck in the street.
You can keep them dirty in your Sun Home Guard, though.
Good comeback. Good job, Turlin.
Wow, Turlin, what a good comeback. Just Yarvin. Nice thoughts.
That's something Skylar would say.
Yeah, so Turlin's not very good at comebacks. That's what we've learned today.
No, tell him.
He says, I trust that you can take this out to the trash. We've got a main event that we've come to see. And he hops back into the... He actually starts cutting ahead of the line. He feels like now that he's done something, he can... skip to the front.
Okay, we'll take care of the Luxodon then.
Okay. And as you are trying to get enough guards and people to help drag this Luxodon away, you see Zophius and some clerk from the office of the guild hall come running up.
I've made a friend. Aren't you proud?
Aren't you
what
proud?
Is it, Zophius?
What? What's up? What are you questioning?
You know that Zophius was supposed to be on duty here at the...
I was. Where have I you promise. Been?
At the arena. What do you say, Zophius?
I'd say personal business, but that's not very true.
Well, at this point, do you need Turlin's help? I think that you know enough about what's going on, right?
Run past him.
I've learned from this lady.
I can sneak through. I need to speak with the coordinator of the fights. Can you get me there?
Yeah.
Quickly.
I have no idea where that guy is.
Can you get me in pretty quickly?
Oh, yeah.
I'll find him.
Yeah. I get you in. Right this way. Usher him to the front service entrance door.
Okay. Anything else that you... Any other talking that you want to do before you get in there?
Don't allow any more goats in. I'll go in.
I'll mention to look out for were-minotaurs. Or, were-mitars.
Yeah, were-mitars?
Were-mitars.
When you say were-minotaurs, Cornelia says, oh my goodness, it's already happening then.
Oh no.
He's already started the spell.
Run faster.
Gotta go.
What spell?
We'll tell you in a minute.
Is this one of those? No time to talk.
Yeah.
Do you go?
You can come with us. Sure. Run off with us.
Abandon my post. Come off. Go on an adventure.
Well, this sounds pretty pertinent to what's going on.
Yeah. And then you get credit for saving everyone.
Okay. Yeah. Rub it in Gerald's face.
That Gerald.
Gerald, where's Pick your guard jerk. Now?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we might need to call it quits there tonight. Here's what we need to do. Let me just...
Next time.
Yeah.
And
so next time.
Next time. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
All right, thanks for sticking around. We are glad that you're here with us. And this story is shaping up great so far. I love the way that they are all getting into it and the way they're paying attention. Now, I say that because in going back and listening to this episode, I realize that I've kind of made a small mistake. I've done a little disservice to Alex so far. I know that everybody says don't split the party, and I wanted to try something where the party started split up
and just see how that would go, because I thought it would be a better story. And so far, I think that's true. But I just spent an entire episode where Alex didn't get to do hardly anything. So I apologized to him afterwards. And we will kick it off with Alex again next time, and Yarvin, and what he's doing. One of the problems with splitting the party is that it's easy to get knocked out when you get into a fight and you can't help each other out. But the other problem with splitting the party is that it's harder for the DM to tell a story that keeps everybody involved. Luckily, Alex is super into this story so far and is commenting on things. Even when it's BJ's turn or when it's Scott's turn, he is still interested in what's happening. And I think that's great. And that's all good for him. And definitely hides a little bit of a mistake on my part. So I'm going to do better at that. And remember again next time that this is what happens when you split the party. And I have to do better at that as a DM. And I will. Anyway, thanks again for listening. We hope that you are excited for next week's episode, the last part of this story, the arena. We'll see you next time on Dads and Dragons.